Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
On this vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed.
And with that, the budget bill that President Trump had pushed Republicans to pass did pass by just one vote. The GOP says it will revive the U.S. economy. Democrats say it will kick millions off Medicaid and food stamps. The bill now moves on to the Senate. The man in custody for allegedly shooting and killing two Israeli embassy staffers outside the Capitol Jewish Museum had chanted support for Palestine as he was taken into custody.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying this was a brazen act of cowardly anti-Semitic violence. Israel's ambassador calling it, quote, a depraved act of anti-Semitic terrorism, saying the young embassy staffers killed were a couple who were planning to get married.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Dow futures are mixed this morning after another sell-off on Wall Street Wednesday. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court denied Stephen Avery's latest request for a new trial in his conviction for the murder of Teresa Halbach in 2005. He's claimed that he should be allowed to present evidence that there is an alternate unknown suspect responsible for the murder. The 62-year-old Avery is serving a life sentence for Halbach's murder. He has maintained his innocence, but all appeals have been denied. Avery's attorney, Kathleen Zellner, posted Wednesday on social media platform X, quote, as expected, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has denied review of Stephen's petition. Avery and his nephew, Brendan Dassey, were the subject of the Netflix series Making a Murderer in 2015, which created global attention for the case. The Wrightstown School District has put Superintendent Ron Sari on administrative leave due to a performance concern. According to a news release, Sari will be on leave until a review is completed. The school board met Tuesday in closed session to discuss concerns about his performance. Sari was hired as superintendent in January after Andy Space retired mid-school year. Space faced allegations of insubordination, legal counsel issues, and open meeting law issues. In the 5 months Sari has been superintendent, four board members have either resigned or been voted out of office in Wrightstown. Just in time for summer, Yelp has released its list of the top 25 burger chains in the United States. Wisconsin's own Culver's hits the top five, settling in at number four. Yelp called out that Culver's is now in 26 states and is loved for its butter burgers and frozen custard. Yelp also listed Culver's as the number one burger chain in the Midwest. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a four-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today. I mean, even though it was emergency and before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun. And as close as this ballgame was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, almost just like today with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
We believe your stories matter because here at WISS, your stories are our stories too. Our award-winning news team of Lisa Hale, Brittany Merlot, and Terry Barr cover the issues that affect your life every day, the stories that shape your world. You'll hear it on the air, read it online, and see it on social media, wherever you are. Real news, great conversation, 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, connected to you and your community. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Doctors in Recital who will sing in the studio. Then Milwaukee-based director, producer, and UW-Milwaukee professor Tate Bunker joins the show. It will feel like a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. So great talking with Dan Brick about the Brown County Breakfast on the Farm. Folks, if you've never been to one of these, you got to go. If you've got kids or grandkids especially.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's...
hands-on.
And like Dan said, this has become a family tradition for a lot of people, but you make a good point. This is great for grandkids.
Oh, I'd love to take my granddaughters there.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
You know what the number one thing I remember with all the kids? They can't believe how big cows are when you're up next to them.
That's what I was saying. Even that equipment, you drive by it. Okay, but then you get there and they let you get really close. Nothing's roped off there.
No. Yeah.
So it's very cool.
We're going to keep talking this Sunday, June 1st, Brown County Breakfast on the Farm, 8 until noon. It doesn't go long because it's still a working farm.
Right. And we're going to, I'll be serving and you'll be driving
the
tractor.
I'm going to be driving the tractor. Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
I'm so glad I brought that up.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, God. By the way, okay.
Well,
so
let's talk to the passengers after.
Yeah. they didn't know you could do donuts with those.
I can do a wheelie.
Okay, a couple kids threw up. Okay, yeah, wow. Right. Really? Big deal. You get car sick. Yeah. Get over it. We got our bingo card entries going. Here's some right now. If you're going to be a part of this, you get a major prize package,
but
okay?
Just the way it works, we're going to put words on the bingo card, and then when we use them, they're going to...
Yes. Okay, or phrases, right?
Or phrases, yeah. Okay, so these are some of the entries.
Go ahead. Bingo card. Mino.
Go ahead.
What is a dry rub?
Okay.
That's some of the...
Yeah.
Okay. All right, John Sane.
Like, you wouldn't believe.
All right. Bingo card phrase. Quick pull. That's something John would say. You read that one.
Quick pull. Men's health and Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that's definitely... This next one's you, too. Yep. Bingo card.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yep, that's you. This one might be me.
Linens and sauna.
I mean, that's what you're going to write, bingo card. I was going to read that. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Finish bingo card. You good?
I don't make up stories. That's you.
Phenomenal. Milton. Veterans.
Actually, those are three really good words. All right. Mall.
No, bike. No.
Be the first one.
Oh, phenomenal.
No.
Where is it? Oh, here it is. Okay, I thought that. Okay. All right. I don't know who would say this. Downtown Mall. Bike seat.
Mine.
All right.
And the last one?
The Hood.
Those are our first entries. Every one of them will be used for our bingo cards that we're legitimately giving out to people. You can win a major prize.
Those are really good words. Thank you for listening. Those are obviously listeners.
Yeah.
So good listeners. Loyal listeners. All right.
Tom Swearingen. Tom Swearingen. Mm-hmm. I can never pronounce your last name, Tom. And I've tried practicing. You've advanced the quarterfinals for Taste of the Home's Favorite Chef. Your background is exquisite. And I still want to come to that. You've
that buffet?
Talked about, the brunch.
Yeah. So where you
I got to come to that. So Tom, you got the floor.
Okay, so the brunch is...
Explain who you are.
Okay, so I'm retired military. I'm a former chef at the Pentagon.
For big time people.
For William Perry and William Cohen, the two secretaries of defense I worked for during the Bill Clinton time. So I was in my 20s.
Wow.
Before the internet, before CNN, every time I'd get on CNN, whatever, call my mom, hey, I'm on the, see me on the news.
You didn't stream it to her.
Yeah. After 9/11, I deployed four times, retired 2012.
Where were you when you deployed?
So I was in Saudi Arabia right after 9/11. I was 60 miles from the Iraq border in Kuwait. I was in Qatar and the UAE. So I was I got to do that indoor skiing in the desert.
You did that, didn't you?
No, I didn't do skiing.
In Dubai,
I've been to those places. Yep.
So I did golf at the Abu Dhabi golf course.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's cool.
So that was one of my big things. I wanted to go jet skiing in the Persian Gulf and golfing. So after the third time, I actually got to do that.
We landed in the Persian Gulf on the USS Eisenhower. That was
okay.
That's
cool. Okay.
That's unbelievable.
I'm going to be honest with you.
It's when you take off. It's like a slingshot. And it's like, man. And you get off over the water.
It's the hottest place I've ever been. And it was by, I don't know where I was, Ali Asalim, or one of the players over there.
But Ali Asalim,
Ali Asalim.
Yep.
People don't realize the humidity. When you have humidity over there, I was in New Orleans, everybody's been, and I was like, how could you possibly, even golf or much less put on full pads and play football in this kind of heat? How did you guys handle that heat,
Tom? Oh, when you, air conditioning everywhere.
Right.
I'm fortunate. I was, when I was in Kuwait, I'm storeroom manager, so I sat in the freezer and counted MREs.
Wow. That's a good gig. Because people don't even with all my Vietnam vets that I'm interviewing, they said, Vietnam's a scary place, but they said the biggest thing they had to overcome was when they were first there and they experienced that heat. It's like, how do you live in this?
When you walk out the door,
it's unbelievable.
It hits you like a... an oven.
And if you never see sand again, you'd be okay. It's just sand.
Yeah. But if you look out over the past the concertine wires and stuff, it's nothing but sand.
That's So you parlayed your chef experience into what you're doing now. You also cooked for at least a cheeseburger for Colin Powell.
Yep.
So cool story.
So General Colin Powell was retired. So he had a consulting gig for the secretaries that I worked for. Every day he'd be walking through with a suit and out of the corner of your eye, I'm like, you're just seeing famous people all day long.
Well, they got to eat, And they came to you.
Yep.
All right, so tell us about where you're at right now.
Okay, so
tell everybody where you're from here.
Oh. Right, so I'm from O'Connell Falls. Yep. And in my contest, I just got into O'Connell Falls chat. So anybody out in O'Connell Falls, there's the link right there. Click on it and vote.
Nice.
So I'm trying to get... today's the last day of quarterfinals, so I'm trying to catch up.
Okay.
I've gone down. The first round there, I was first place all the way through. This round, I've shrank down to sixth, and I'm climbing back up to
today's
third. I'm going to be honest with you, Tom. I've tried a couple of times and had trouble...
Oh, clicking on it.
Clicking into a type of thing.
Yeah. So click on the picture, and it comes up to the vote.
Okay.
So the voting mechanism there. I'm only advocating just the free votes. I want to win on the free votes, but this is
you gotta pay for extra.
Yeah. So yesterday I paid quite a bit of money to because I'm competitive.
Absolutely,
it's like an auction.
Well, but it's not for you. I mean, you're not doing this for your own glory.
Yeah,
ahead and say what's behind it.
So what you win first. And
this is for the James Beard, which he gives scholarships to culinary students.
Yep.
So he's trying to promote like Martha Stewart. He's the old fashioned Martha Stewart. So this is the prize money is $25,000. I'm not taking a penny of that. I work for the Wabino School District, and this is for scholarship monies. So every penny that I would win on this is going to go to a scholarship.
Right.
And the student would have an interest in culinary field. So is it for college or is it for programs right while they're in high school?
No, this would be just for college. So
that's better. Yeah.
So a graduating senior for the next 5 years, we get $5,000.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of cool, Tom. Jim and I were talking about this right before the show because we're big advocates of tech schools.
Yeah.
Okay. And trade. And there's a graph. I wanted to print it, but I didn't know how. But anyway,
It's the same reason you can't vote.
Okay. It was like high schools now when they, you know, when they have these, and there's always been problems, millage, yada, yada, yada. A lot of that money now with a lot of those things are going into upgrading their tech schools at the high schools. Right. And these kids are literally walking to $100,000 jobs at some of these. Yeah. But the other one, Jim, this is what I wanted to bring up. The other part when they do these things is the culinary. They're upgrading that because so many kids are looking at that now as a career. Yeah. And that's one of the new things they're really upgrading with high schools.
Yeah, we had one student go to the Culinary Institute of America.
Okay.
She's probably finishing it now. It's a 2-year program out of Wabino.
I mean, it used to be home ec, but now they're taking this real serious.
And there's an event coming up at the Rush Center. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I forgot the name of it, but I'm judging for the – and these kids that are – and I'm the judge for the youngest kids, but it's like 8 to 12. You know, that's pretty cool to be into it at that young age. And then they have all these seniors and adults. But, Bill Jartz is one of the judges. The interest that they have, they couldn't believe how many people. This is only the second year. They couldn't believe the interest they have in a culinary program. And that's something else. It's fun. But you can be creative, but you can also make a little money, too.
But it's a career.
It's a good career.
Absolutely.
Especially if you get to the resort, you can ski for free. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you get in Colorado or down at Hilton. Well,
I'm so old. I remember a home ec teacher, and talking to this one girl, she says, girls, this is the most important class you'll ever have in your entire life because this is going to make your husbands happy.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine that these days?
Not at all. Wow.
My senior year, I took the home ec class because I needed an elective.
Yeah.
A year and a half after taking the elective, I was cooking for the president.
Shut up.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Your career is pretty amazing.
You're obviously very talented, but you were at the right place at the right time a couple times.
Yeah, right place at the right time. So I was supposed to go to Turkey. They canceled those orders when I was 18 years old. I got to Langley Air Force Base, which is Air Combat Command headquarters. Airman of the Year, I got to fly an F-15.
That's cool.
And then, so that's them incentive flights and stuff they give you.
Okay, hey, Dan Brick, if you're listening, the thing about letting me drive a tractor, you just got beat out by a guy that flies an F-15 and might find a way for me to fly an F-15, Dan. Think about that.
F-35's down in the 115th in Madison.
Yeah, and that too, Dan. Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Sitting in the back seat. They offered me a second incentive flight when I was in Madison, and I found out I was too heavy.
Really?
Yeah. So the ejector seats only push up 212 pounds. And that's what the command chief told me. He's like, if you want to lose that 12 pounds, Tom, I'm like, I've been on one. I'm not going to lose the weight.
John, could you fly in there?
That's good incentive.
Get on the treadmill. Yeah, but the ejectors, I could have flew out of Madison when I was NCO of the year down there.
I got to be honest, killer. That seems like one of the scariest things in the world is to be ejected. When you're going, 200, 300 miles? I don't know how fast those things go. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a joke. I'm like, I never heard of an F-15 crash, but I think Madison had two.
Wow. I'll tell you one thing.
So there's a reason.
One of the most surreal things I've ever experienced in my life was a couple of years ago, they let me go on one of those things. Well, they did, it's like a media thing. You've probably done it.
Yeah.
Too, where they let you go on a tanker, and we went up to, Duluth.
Yeah, that's cool.
And whatever came up next to us to get refueled.
Yep.
And they're going, 500 miles an hour? I don't even know. And it's like Todd, right there.
You can see him,
You're sitting right there, and there's a pilot right on the other side of that glass going 500 miles an hour, whatever, refueling.
Yeah.
And then he did a little salute, and he disappeared.
What would be scary is if you're flying one of them and you got two F-15s coming up beside you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you need to land.
I got
to
tell you something. I watched this great special the other night on 9/11. Okay, on Bush, where he was in Sarasota, Florida, with that little school, and they're reading, and when they whisper to him and everything, and their whole thing was, sir, we must get you in the air, we must get you in the air, we must get you in the air. So they took to the air, and they're coming out with things that were disclosed for a while, and they said, there's F-15s, I think there were four of them flanking them, and they flew over the Gulf of Mexico to get out, and the mission of those F-15s was if any surface-to-air missiles came up, whatever, they wouldn't shoot it down. They would get in, and they would take the brunt of it. Right. So it was a suicide mission for those guys when they went up.
They were going to block it,
They were going to block it. They were going to take the missile.
Wow. I know they went up really high. I just, they're all, I know they changed
that. That's a special, hey, what are you doing today?
I would,
taking a bullet for the president.
I don't know. I would have flown higher, but I don't know that I would have done that.
Oh, son of a gun, wow. He missed me. That'd be me. Stick around, Tom. Talking about quarterfinals, Taste of Home's favorite chef, and it's all to help young people who want to get into this fantastic profession. Back right after this. Like a breeze, country roads, take me home. This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Get back to Zaroni's. You know, the macaroni and pizza pub on Jackson Street in Oshkosh? They're back open under new ownership with all the familiar recipes you know and love. Enjoy the Zaroni's to-go lunch buffet. Fill up the box and they'll fill your drink, all for just $11.50. Buffet to-go. Zaroni's macaroni and pizza pub menu includes specialty mac and cheese, pizza, salads, appetizers, and desserts. The to-go buffet is open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 2. Zaroni's is back. 2407 Jackson Street. Zaroni's.com.
Hey, Jim, have you checked out Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh yet?
No, what's that, Johnny?
Oh, it's an awesome place. 4 indoor pickleball courts that can be booked 24/7, plus leagues, tournaments, private and group lessons for all skill levels.
Okay, that sounds like a party place.
Oh, it is, and it's not just for pickleball. They have the most dynamic venue in the valley with a full bar so you can host corporate outings, birthday and retirement parties, live bands, even weddings.
I could throw a party there and play pickleball all day?
Absolutely. Check it all out at pickleandbags.com or on Facebook.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You just letting that play?
Just love it, man. Love it.
That is good music, man.
I remember watching a basketball game. Marquette against the University of West Virginia. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Marquette won, and the coach was Buzz, whatever. He was the head coach at Marquette. Mm-hmm. Did a great. Buzz Williams. And so the game was over, and he's walking over to do the post-game show to the radio guys. Like, okay? And he's walking across, and at the end of every West Virginia game, they play this song. Yeah. It's like they're, okay.
Right, the theme.
And he's walking across the thing, and he's like right by the logo, and he starts dancing. Oh, my gosh. They had to break away from the post-game show because the people behind were swearing at
disrespectful.
Him.
Disrespectful.
They wanted to kill him for dancing on the logo of that song.
Yeah.
They take that song real serious.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's a little somber.
We got some more entries for our Mind of the Mayor bingo card. This is from Tori. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, well, that might be me.
That's good, Tori. Another one. Tina says, quads and thighs.
Oh, man, that's going to be the first one called.
Another one from Alex. Nagani. Absolutely. This is Dan Brick. I will give Mino a tractor if I could have a ride in the F-15.
Yeah,
oh, he's right. This is to you,
that's
John.
A good deal.
Dennis said he'll give you a tractor
so
to drive
I.
If he can get a ride in an F-15.
So I, man. That's a good deal. Wow.
Love it. Great. So we're with Tom Swearingen. Advanced to the quarterfinals with a taste of home's favorite chef. And again, he's not doing this for himself or glory or anything like that. He's trying to earn some scholarship money for kids from the Ocano Falls area, right?
Wabino School District.
And you work there.
I'm the nutritionist at the Wabino School District.
With your background, you've won this before. You need to win it again.
Yep.
And all the money goes to help these kids when they get out of high school to go into a culinary field.
Yep. Or any, it's just a college scholarship to the seniors.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
You would probably lean.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
All the military stories I tell them, they're like, that's probably the best career you could go into.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
But that is a great career. Although I will say this, there's pressure on that too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Being,
yep.
Yeah. No. I mean, the brass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's sometimes it's not what you cook, it's who you cook for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And they may not give you the advance notice that you would like.
Right.
Those guys parachute in from anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So,
did Bill Clinton really like peanut butter sandwiches and things like that?
Didn't he like everything?
Well, they had, they when he came into, because they had a special meal with Secretary Cohen, when he came in there was so many people that were watching what you were doing.
Really?
You don't deviate from anything. People were watching you prepare it. People watched you bring it up there. People watched you plate it.
Of course.
Yeah.
They didn't want you slipping anything in there.
Well,
you know?
Like, so Secret Service, and too. So if they, in the Pentagon, when they have contractors come in, like electricians and stuff, I had a Secret Service guy outside our kitchen sitting in the ceiling watching an electrician do his job.
Yeah. Wow.
Three days straight, 10-hour days. And we knew this guy. He was around us all the time. That's his whole job. He's just sitting in the ceiling with this electrician.
Okay, you got to tell the story about Dick Cheney.
Oh yeah. So when I was in my second deployment to the UAE, so we were outside of Dubai. Dick Cheney was there with the Air Force Two, I guess is what you call it. His aircraft was parked out on tarmac, and I was flight line dining facility manager, and so. We were taking care of the flight line people, and the Chief Zaromsky was the chief of the flight line, was taking us for a tour, and we got to go underneath Air Force One, and we got to do a lot of stuff, except for we didn't get access to it.
Sure.
Because they didn't secure the equipment in there. So, like, everybody else was asking for, like, postcards or something off of Air Force One. I wanted the presidential M&Ms.
Right.
And he came back, Sergeant... Sorry, Sergeant Swearingen, we can't do that. Dick Cheney has a heart condition, and there's no M&Ms on the plate.
They have M&Ms.
Guys, the VP doesn't have the discipline. Take it away. So, yeah, that's cool. All right, so what is this contest? When can we vote? How can we vote?
So I have I think the best way to vote is to probably get onto your website.
Okay.
Hopefully we can...
Todd, can you jump in here, buddy?
Yep, I'll put it on our blog page. So go to wgbw.fm or wiss.fm. Click on Mine on the Mayor. Look at this hour's notes. We'll put it right in there for you.
So there will be a link on there. I'm promoting I Want to Win with just free votes, and I've gotten this far with just free votes. You can vote once every 24 hours, but they do have a link that you can donate money. This is a fundraiser for the James Beard.
Yeah, I'm good.
You can vote, but when you vote and you pay for and you donate money, every dollar that you donate to the James Beard is a vote for me. Yeah.
And credit cards they take, it's just very easy to do.
You'll be done in like 3 minutes.
Okay.
And the votes will register for me. Voting for the quarterfinals ends tonight at 9:00.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're on it.
Please help us out. And again, nobody's making any money. Nobody's making a dime on this. Yep. It's all going to help kids for scholarships in the Wabino School District.
Wabino School District and also for the James Beard Foundation. So it's a win-win for both foundations.
Okay. Tell me, I think I asked you last. Who's James Beard?
James Beard was, he would be like the first Martha Stewart. So like in the early
kind of a home ec guy or whatever you call him.
So, yeah, he would be before the Food Network was there. Was James Beard.
Is he still around?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that's cool.
All the money that he had, he created a foundation to help culinary
nice
arts and to promote it.
And again, like the home ec teacher told the girls in 1972, this is such an important class because it'll make your husbands happy.
Oh, man. Get her back. I'm sure I'll get a
this
couple
is cool
emails.
Stuff, Tom. And do you tell kids some of your military stories?
Well, the nice thing about, so my family has heard this for years and years and years. Nice thing about, I do summer school. I teach a class in summer school as well as feeding them. Every year I get new students. So it's the first time they've ever heard of these students.
We got 30 seconds. One more thing. Pub your brunch.
Oh, at Pine Hills. I also work at a golf course. Pine Hills in Gresham or Bowler.
Yeah.
Every Sunday there's a brunch from 10 until 2.
What do you have?
Everything.
Prime rib. I'm the guy out front making omelets, sharing my military stories.
Love it. Tom, how do we vote?
Go to the website and click
Civic
on the link.
Media,
beautiful.
Mind on the Mayor. And
always fun having you here, Tom. Yep.
Thanks, Tom.
Best of luck. Good luck. Everything against you win. Mind on the Mayor. Back after this.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Because of occasionally disruptive behavior of people using vulgar language, leaving garbage strewn about, and blocking doors to the bathrooms and other shared spaces, the Appleton Common Council voted last night to prohibit alcohol within 20 feet of any pavilion or playground in the city's public parks. The new rules would, however, allow alcohol at the pavilions, with a reservation or during special events. Additionally, alcohol permits will not be required now if the alcohol is to be consumed more than 20 feet from a pavilion or playground. The odds of a new casino in South Wisconsin have gone up. Stuart J. Waddles has that story.
The Kenosha News reports the Menominee Tribe's proposed Kenosha Casino has cleared a major obstacle after a federal agency rejected an amendment that would have limited new tribal casinos near Milwaukee. The decision removes a hurdle allowing the $360 million project to continue moving through the approval process. It needs an okay from the federal government and the Wisconsin governor. The proposal is for land along I-94 near 60th Street.
Drivers need to know that it's illegal to pass agricultural vehicles in a no-passing zone. That's from the Wisconsin State Patrol. According to a social media post, law enforcement authorities responded to over 400 crashes involving farm vehicles in 2024. They say there have been over 2,000 in the last 5 years. The State Patrol is reminding residents to be alert behind the wheel and drive with caution to protect both themselves and farmers on the roads, as those agricultural vehicles typically move at significantly slower speeds than usual road traffic. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martin Scorsese fans will have a chance to see him on the other side of the camera in a new documentary on Apple TV. Deadline reports that the famous director will be the subject of a docuseries in 5 parts from director Rebecca Miller. Miller is the daughter of playwright Arthur Miller and married to 3-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis. In the series, Scorsese will talk about his real-life experiences and how they contributed to his masterful filmmaking. James Cameron used the old Bugs Bunny reverse psychology trick in getting Leonardo DiCaprio to sign on to Titanic, according to Deadline. When DiCaprio was considered for the part of Jack Dawson, he wanted Cameron to make the character more conflicted, similar to other roles he had played so well to that point in his career. Cameron didn't want to do that, so he presented Jack Dawson's wholesomeness as yet another challenge to DiCaprio, asking him if he thought he could pull off an unflawed character. DiCaprio took the bait, and history was made. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Almost just like today with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on the road this week, live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, home of WCFW, The Tap, talking about conservation and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Got something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, great guest we've had so far today. Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms. We've got the Breakfast on the Farm coming up on Sunday, June 1st, 8 until noon. But there's a church service, which is really cool, at 7 in the barn. And it's rain or shine. Or in the tent, yeah. Wayside Dairy, 7937 Stone Road, Greenleaf. Please get out there, support this. Support our dairy farmers. They are the salt of the earth. And ironically, we've got two guys here that grew up on dairy farms. That's
a joke. That's not true. These guys, these guys don't know what a dairy farm. No, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Hey, I go to the farm. Yeah,
it's cool.
I'm serving. John's going to drive a tractor. I'm going to be serving breakfast.
Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette and these poor guys. Todd.
What's up?
It's so wonderful. They get up early, come in, whatever. And first of all, Jim puts on his political cap and starts getting out of something.
Offline. It was offline.
I'm getting on
I
them.
I think it was more like social.
Right.
Okay.
Like
it's conversation. Related.
You know, yeah. And then I jump. Community related. You know what story you guys need to do?
We like to think.
Okay, but Jeremy, that one I'm talking about, I think would be a great story. There were prisoner of war camps in Northeast Wisconsin, and they brought over German prisoners. Okay, German troops, Nazi troops during World War II. Okay? And they brought him over here to work on the farms in this area. But one of the problems they had is, and like Dan said, was it 1848?
Yeah.
His family goes through from Ireland, okay? So you'd have these farms that were Germans, okay, wow. Heritage. And they treated these guys like they were bringing them food and pies and wanting to socialize the ladies and yada, yada, okay. Yada. That they had to, I talked to one guy, they used to have like a dance for the, and they had to shut those things down because so many, they just, and they were, you know, and the thing is, these weren't SS Nazis. These were conscripts. These were 19-year-old kids who were drafted and didn't want to, you know, whatever, whatever.
Rank and file.
And they loved it over here. They fought to stay in Northeast Wisconsin. They didn't want to go back to Germany. But what the government did then is they obliterated where the things were. And I think that'd be a great story.
That's just a pending question. Everywhere I go, they ask about that.
I know, right? I know. So could you? Hey, could you guys look away while I punch him? So could you look into that, Jeremy?
Well, that sounds really interesting. How did you find out about this, though?
I'm a historian.
Yeah, are you?
I was going to say, like, you read a book and it was.
I'm a historian, okay, Ariel. Wow. Okay. Wow.
So what are you working on? I love reading your stuff. I mean, I get the paper every day. A lot of people do.
It's interesting stuff. You guys get both. Good stuff. You guys get your finger out. For two young guys to come into this area and get so acclimated in what's going on over around here is really cool.
To me, I think it's like the old days. I see who wrote it.
Yeah.
You're like the sports
That's
guy
the
we have on.
Yeah.
The sports guy we have on all the time.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
Scott. No? Scott Vency?
Vency.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a great writer as well. So anyway, what are you working on?
Well, you go first.
You're putting me on the spot. Well, there's stuff about homelessness in the area. That's also always a big problem that I hear about. people talking about that are concerned. Speeding.
Oh, thank you.
There's a...
My well, God, I live right upstairs here. You can't, at night, I mean, you have to close your windows. It reminds me of Wisconsin International Raceway at the drag strips. They'll go up and down on Walnut here. They'll drag race like you can't, and so loud, and they're going like 105. I don't know how. It's unbelievable. You should, you know what you should do? You want to know a good story? I'm going to tell you something. Go to Metro, the apartment complex.
Okay.
And go up to one of the upstairs there and sit there with a camera or something, and or if you can get a speed gun, like a baseball speed gun, and see the noise and the speed factor. You'll be shocked.
At what time does this happen?
From 7 till 9.
Wow.
Sounds like early morning?
No, at night.
At night?
At night, yeah. That's early.
Yeah. The police would do. How about noise pollution? I think this city has gotten so loud. I'm interviewing the mayor this afternoon, as a matter of fact, for the show on Sunday. And that's on my list is... We used to, back in the day, go up with the, what is it, 80 decibels? I forgot what our law is. But and they would test it. And and it's not a lot of people, but it's a lot of the same people that's very annoying. And it's loud. And I mean, I'm not just talking about motorcycles.
It's incredibly loud. It's unbelievable.
And on Monroe, down here. And it's just in your face. It's like someone driving by your front yard just throwing trash on there. It's just so disrespectful. And... We don't do anything in this city. This is a loud, loud city.
It is?
Yes, it is.
I just, every time I come by, it's so quiet.
Yeah, maybe it's the time of day.
Well, I was going to say, you know.
We're talking to a couple of guys from actual cities. And like, really? This is like the quietest city we've ever been in? No, but okay. We're those old guys. Get on! Turn that down!
I was going to say that, but I, you know.
We're, okay, just so you guys know. Who you're talking to. You're talking to those two guys from the Muppet Show up in the balcony. That's who we are. Just so you know that going into it, okay?
You guys seem like you love it. So.
But you guys can sit here and say, oh, yeah, you guys are going to walk up there and go, oh, my God, are those two cranky old
Well, it's 7:40. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I'm just talking about the weekends.
It sounds to me that isn't there the cops are right there on Walnut? They don't hear that? I mean...
They hear it. You gotta be deaf to not hear it. You hear it. It's just you don't act on it.
Okay.
It's kind of. I'll give you another example at the next break. But anyway.
But we are those on? Two guys in the balcony.
We are.
Just so you guys know that.
I have heard a lot of things about speeding, so that is something that
it is. That's like a to. Scary thing at times.
But if they're
to be
quiet.
Yeah, because you
quiet
don't hear them coming
V8
up to run you over.
Car. Yeah.
So, Jerry, I got to ask you guys, what's been your most fun story that you've done here? The one you feel the best about?
Ooh. Most fun. Well, the most fun stories are my reader columns. I love writing those because you get more of my voice, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's more. I love to have fun with the writing. Most impactful story, I would say, was the story about the dad who waited 2 years for a four-way stop at the intersection of Eliza.
Yeah.
For his deaf and blind son.
Yeah.
That was probably, you know, I had a lot of conversations with him and got to know him a lot. And I felt that was one of the stories that I came here to do, to show people a side of you know, it kind of shows the human side of.
Are you shocked at all? Because you're not jaded yet.
Okay. I'm not jaded, no.
Okay.
No.
Are you surprised at all where you've got something where it's like, well, everybody would agree to this because it's common sense. This is good for whatever. And people, for whatever reason, they just want to go against it. Almost like no matter what it is, they have to be a foil. Are you surprised sometimes at that? The pushback?
I'm not surprised. No. Okay. No. Okay. Maybe it's because I grew up seeing a lot of different things as a kid, but I mean, it's understandable. Are you talking about like...
Well, that story.
Neighbors like wanting a stop sign?
And not wanting it. We don't need a stop sign. I don't care if the kids, whatever. It's like...
Well, a lot of the neighbors in that case, they didn't want a stop sign.
I know they did, but other people, the ones that, like, how could you not want this?
The ones that don't live there?
Yes, exactly. But they just want to get their, you know... Their voice heard somehow. Yeah. Where are you from originally, Jeremy?
That's hard to say. Okay. Virginia.
Okay.
In the mountains of Virginia is where I grew up for most of my childhood. So
cool.
So, and then I kind of moved around to kind of like the suburbs and then.
Of Virginia?
Or? Maryland.
Maryland, okay.
Maryland, right across the border.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Georgetown.
Couldn't get into a good school?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I tried my best.
I'll tell you what. I spent one, when we went to Walter Reed Hospital one time with the Wires, and we were out in the town of Georgetown, the city of Georgetown. That would be such a cool place to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I love history, personally. Yeah. So it was like really cool being like, oh, wow, these buildings are they're so
what
old.
What a cool area that is,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And people were like, well, you have to like keep, you can't change anything about the neighborhood. It has to look that way because of like, you know, ordinances and rules. And
why can't they win?
There always has to be winners and losers.
I know, but with George Thompson, what they had, it was, or John Thompson, it was like amazing. Mm-hmm. And you think that's going to be one of those basketball programs that's just a heritage program. They're all like a Duke. And it's like, man.
I mean, they changed their coach, I think, right when I was graduating.
Okay. There.
Doesn't seem like things have changed, though. I don't know. Maybe we're cursed.
But Hoya Paranoia.
Yeah.
That used to be great, man. Yeah. That's awesome. Ariel.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. I promise you I'm not going to throw a bunch of Cuban baseball players and athletes at you like I've done in the past. I swear. Okay.
It's okay.
Although Theofaldo Stevenson is still the best heavyweight boxer in my lifetime I've ever seen. And that's terrible that Castro wouldn't let him fight outside of Cuba.
I'm like my grandpa. I'm a fan of Rocky Marciano.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that was... Okay. I'll tell you a quick story. Want me to tell you a quick story? My family, my grandfather, who was right from Italy, came over here from Italy... From the same village was Primo Carnera.
Ooh. Nice.
Primo Carnera.
Yeah.
Heavyweight boxer.
I never heard of him, but okay.
I'm with Jim. I'm like, I've never heard of him.
This happens
every
day.
You got to see Cinderella Man, man.
Yeah.
You got to see Cinderella Man.
Yes!
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
Russell Crowe.
Thank you, which is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a wonderful movie.
Wonderful movie.
So the bad guy
got
in the movie.
Got me crying and everything.
Yes, the bad guy. Okay, so Primo Carnera fought Max Baer.
Yeah.
Okay? So Max Baer, and he was like the villain in this movie. His family, his son filed a lawsuit against producers for the way they made their dad look. He was heavy. But you know Jethro from Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yeah.
It was his dad. Max Baer Sr. Was a heavyweight boxer, fought Primo Carnera. Almost killed him.
I always bring the sport guy out.
You bring it out of him?
Difficult. Jesse Light and Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. Okay, I got my spiel out. You guys can have a real talk show now. Go ahead.
How about you? What are you working on, Ariel?
Well, I've been working on several things, mainly the Cellcom outage this week. But
where are we at with that, Ariel?
You want to interview us at the break?
Talk to us, brother. What's going on?
Well, I got a message from my editor just... couple minutes ago, and he said that he could make calls, so there might be an update coming later today.
But okay. He can't. That was said a day ago. You can make calls now.
No. But now I think
some people can and some people can't. Is my point.
Yeah, I think he meant that he could make calls to other providers. Yeah, other.
Oh, to like a Verizon or something.
Yeah, other cell companies.
Oh, that's a big step. Then
that's a step.
Yeah. So I don't know. There might be an update coming. So as soon as I get out of here, I got an interview with the.
Isn't it crazy, though, Ariel? I mean, in the media, you know, and I go back so far, like in journalism school, and one of the things was you must always carry dimes with you to get to a payphone. Okay? It's true. Okay. But now, like, even like I'm trying to get a hold of my doctor this week for a thing I got, and I can't get through to anybody.
Yeah.
And you forget without landlines. Oh, my God. We are so dependent.
Well,
it's incredible.
I talked to a person that he was in Montana. And he said, "Well, I'm from Searing, Wisconsin, and I was on the way to Montana to see my father-in-law, who's 98. And all of a sudden, we can't call him. We have no phone, no communication. And you know, he's an old guy. He gets worried. We always tell him where we are, where we're coming. So it was like it was a horrible trip. Of course, he didn't blame the company or anything. He said, "I've been a 15-year-old customer, but." But it was horrible, you know, to the feeling of not being able to communicate.
Yeah. We got laughed at because we still have a landline. Who's laughing now? That's the first time we've used it.
We still are.
Anyway, this is, you can learn from this too, how much we rely on a piece of equipment like that. And then it's going to be interesting to see when this comes out, what really happened, because could it happen to another industry that we rely on too? You know what I mean?
Yep.
We got two phenomenal guests here. We've had a great lineup today. Jesse Lynn, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette, back with, we have another bingo card entry. This would be from Todd. Mino spilled his coffee again. Sparky.
That would be a good one.
Jesse Lynn, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. Stay with us.
I'm Eastbound, just watch no bandit run.
keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Mayor's Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
Treat yourself to one of our award-winning entrees at the Machine Shed. Come get your hands around one of our famous pork tenderloins, our most popular sandwich. Served either deep-fried golden brown or unbreaded and grilled. Or try our roasted, stuffed Iowa chop that is stuffed with a warm apple raisin dressing and glazed with an apple whiskey sauce. Trust me, you won't regret it. This is Jeff Grunder, and we can't wait to have you over for dinner at the Machine Shed.
The Machine Shed, Fox River Drive, Appleton.
Just because Nurse Appreciation Week is over doesn't mean we need to stop appreciating them. Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And if you're a nurse in the Appleton area, then get yourself a free lunch. Tuesday, May 27th from 11:15 till 1 p.m. at PRN Healthcare, you and any other RN or LPN are welcome to enjoy a free lunch on them. There is a form you have to fill out first, so head to WISS.FM and click events to do so.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The New Hampshire Senate killed a bill requiring absentee voters to include copies of citizenship documents when requesting or returning absentee ballots. In a separate court case in April, voters challenged the state's proof of citizenship law for in-person registration. For decades, a prospective New Hampshire voter could provide documents to prove domicile and U.S. citizenship when registering to vote, or when those documents weren't available, use a sworn affidavit under penalty of fines or imprisonment. Under that system, there has never been any evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in New Hampshire. Then in 2024, New Hampshire became one of the first states to further restrict its proof of citizenship rules. It ended use of affidavits entirely, requiring voters to provide documentary birth certificate, U.S. passport, naturalization papers, or other documents proving citizenship to register. No documents, no voting. HB 217 went even further, requiring absentee ballot users, including nursing home and homebound voters, to provide those documents with their absentee requests and ballots. Fortunately for Grandma, the bill was killed May 15th. April 23rd, arguments by pro-voter groups were heard in federal district court in an effort to strike down the 2024 proof of citizenship law after dozens were turned away in local elections earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here it is, Trucker Thursday. We got some phenomenal guests. We have Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms. We'll talk more about that. Breakfast on the Farm. Tom Swergen advanced to the quarterfinals for Taste of Homes Favorite Chef to help all kids with scholarships. And now two of the best young writers you'll ever find, Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And like I said, gentlemen, we always like to set the table by just talking about us first. Now we're going to turn over to you guys.
Yeah, right. See, I was asking.
The table is yours.
Between breaks. The NFL draft, you biggest story in Green Bay for...
How do you grade it?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that Jesse was inside and I was outside
right,
every day.
Right.
So we got
yeah.
both.
So we got both perspectives.
Yeah, exactly.
On how things were. It was such a party. I'm not a football fan. Okay. I'm not a football guy in general. My friends are. But once I got in there, it was so fun.
Yeah,
I finally was convinced. Like, oh yeah, this is I could get behind this, and
you should, this is what they were talking about.
This is what
about,
they were talking about right? when they're for like, you know, really excited about their teams and everything, and you feel the energy.
Right,
you could feel like moving into the crowd, it was like running against a river because
that's what I was telling people that first night. It was almost a little bit overwhelming because I'm not a real tall guy.
Yeah.
And my son is real tall. I'm like, Dom, where's the so-and-so? I couldn't see. It's like you're in the water.
You know what? I called it. I was moving because I was covering the outsides. Right.
Yeah.
And I was moving from the south side of Lambeau to the north side to go to kind of like Oneida Street there. And when I got out from the entry, the one first entry, and I was with my phone taking photos, and then I see the sea of people coming.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, this is, and then, and I stood there and I recorded a short video, but then more people kept coming.
It's like a tidal wave type of thing.
So I communicated to the chat of our group chat and said, hey, there's a lot of people going in now.
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes later, it was like, no, the entry is closed. Closed down.
That's cool. I wonder where they came from, though.
Well, that's okay. That's the thing that we talk about, okay?
They were coming down the Lombardy Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing as far as where they originally, okay, that was, in retrospect, when you look back, we thought this could be a big tourist thing. The people that come to an NFL draft want to do one thing. They want to see who their team drafts. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the restaurants. They don't care about the tourist sites. They are hardcore football draftniks. Yep. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
I think so.
From what I saw. Sure.
Yeah. And I also think that they stayed in the fun areas.
Well, they didn't. You know what? In retrospect, they didn't need to go anywhere. Everything you wanted.
Right.
Was pretty much there.
They didn't leave. And that was it was a big footprint. You know, I'll give them that. There was a lot to do, but not only food and drink and the event, but the extracurricular things, you know, the Heisman Trophy. And I'm not sure I read that was all going to be there. So that was a cool way to kill time.
Yeah.
Versus coming down here and going to Hagemeister, which I wish more people would have done that. But but anyway, that I think if you talk to the people outside the perimeter, it wasn't what they expected.
But if you go to a Super Bowl, 99% of everything is outlying areas, and it's a social event, and people go to party.
Mm-hmm.
This was a hardcore, weird draft people. They had their notebooks, they had their magazines, or their analysis type things. These were hardcore people.
Mm-hmm. I also think like we did read about how it went in Detroit the previous year, and it was a similar experience for businesses there. Our team in Milwaukee said the same thing about the Republican convention.
Oh, yeah.
Many businesses in downtown didn't really
benefit
see.
From,
because everybody stayed.
Because the Super Bowl is a social event. That's entertainment. The whole, up until the game, there's nothing about the game itself, the teams. It's all fun and parties and things like that.
I'm not sure that was conveyed.
And the draft isn't that way.
No?
No. But anyway, I'm not sure that was conveyed that outside the fence isn't a good place to be. I'm not sure.
Well, we didn't know it though.
No, but he said we did. He said that.
Well, we like our colleague Jeff Bollier wrote about.
Well, he's great.
Yeah,
and he mentioned that in Detroit, you know, the outside the downtown areas outside from where the draft was, didn't see a big influx of people going to businesses or restaurants.
Although I will say this, I used to live outside of Detroit. If you don't know Detroit, you hear all these such horror stories that I'm not sure anybody would want. I mean, okay, we're going to go from Ashwaubenon to downtown Green Bay.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's thinking, are we safe?
Yeah.
But you know, right. Detroit, there's so many horror stories that if you're not from there, you don't realize.
That's a really good
point. But there was a lot of, there was a lot of activity outside of the stadium, like, you know, the bars, the big bars and sport bars.
Yeah, the stadium district.
And they had concerts and bands.
You didn't have to wander far away to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were packed every day.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they were. Our good friend Dennis from the Glam Band comes in and he did a couple of shows there. It was and Nick Cheese Curd, Nick, who does the cheese curds.
Does the cheese curds?
Did you go down last night?
No, it was raining.
But they still held it, right? Farmers market?
Yeah.
Do you know Cheese Curd Nick?
I was
going
to be a whip.
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Nick. That's what I'm confused about.
Okay. Cheese Curd Nick. Okay. He runs the first fried cheese curd stand, I think, in the state of Wisconsin it's ever.
Oh.
It's so popular, you can't believe it. All right?
Like there's a line going.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You got to get to know Cheese Curd Nick.
A couple things about him. When we first met 20 years ago was confrontational because he was selling hot dogs downtown here on the corner.
He didn't have the permits.
I tell you, we increased the permits, but he stayed.
He didn't slip enough under the table to the mayor to get his permit.
But And then he came to the councilman to defend his thing. And he goes, look, I make a living off selling to drunks. That's not what the mayor wants to hear about his downtown. So, I have so much respect for him. He has a business plan. I mean, this guy's a one-man entrepreneur. He hires people for big events. Everything's on his phone. Costs, like things that some businesses don't do.
And he's
gross margin.
What he predicted, draft-wise, was right exactly.
He's spot on. I'm going to have him speak in one of my classes. He's just a very good entrepreneur but it's pretty internal.
Yeah. He's got the business mind.
He does. Absolutely. That guy could be sitting in some corporate office, but he fishes all the time.
He's got a lot of spare days, fishes. Yeah, goes fishing. Got a thing here. Great guest today. Very informative and entertaining. Thank you, Ted. Yeah. We're Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. We guys set up to a hard break here. We got Andrew Parks coming in, Brown County Civic Music Association. But can you guys stick around?
I can stay here for a little longer, yeah.
I have to take care of my dog.
There you go. That's
Are you serious? Serious?
I have to take care of my greyhound.
You can't stick around a little bit?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, we're just getting started. You got a greyhound?
Yeah.
Was it a rescue?
Yes. Yes. Wow. X-Racing Greyhound. He's 3 years old. His name is Shiloh.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The two people shot and killed outside the Capitol Jewish Museum last night were about to become engaged, according to the Israeli ambassador. Both Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram worked for the Israeli embassy. The alleged gunman from Chicago had shouted support for Palestine as he was put under arrest. After an early morning debate, the House passed President Trump's budget bill by a one-vote margin this morning. ABC's Rachel Scott has details.
The One Big Beautiful Bill Act extends Trump's 2017 tax cuts, lifts federal income tax on tips and overtime, sets aside nearly $50 billion to resume construction of the border wall. It also slashes federal spending by more than $1.5 trillion, but the cuts to Medicaid could leave more than 8 million Americans without health insurance over the next decade.
The rush to summer is on. Records expected to be broken at the nation's airports, and AAA says it expects 39 million travelers to hit the road this Memorial Day weekend. This is ABC News.